This call is being recorded.
Okay, good to know. All right. Okay, this part's going to be also recorded. Maybe we can edit this section out.
I'm sure it'll be all right.
Get started. Okay, I'll wait about 30 seconds. So I guess I can start with, can you state your name and occupation for this interview, and then do you want to go on to the next, and then
sure, that works.
I can just, like, highlight or something. All right. Okay, I'm going to start looking at the name. And then I'll call, and then I will merge the calls, and then I think it'll either say we're recording, and I'll say, okay, Tori, we're now speaking with Ruth.
Perfect.
All right. Talk to you in a second.
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Edmonds, if you're on, I think Tori is also on the line right now.
Hello.
Am I on what?
Oh, okay, we are all together on the phone call, and
like I said,
the call is now recording. And Ms. Edmonds, if you're meeting Tori right now, over the phone at least, you're meeting her voice. And just to start off, if you can state your name and occupation for us, please.
My name is Ruth Marie Edmonds, and I'm a retired school teacher.
Hello, Ruth. I'm Tori. Do you prefer us to call you Miss Edmonds, or is Ruth okay?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Can you tell us what your ties are to the St. Louis area?
Well, I was born and raised here. Been here all of my life. Married. Mother of two kids. I taught in St. Louis Public Schools, got married, and now I'm retired.
That sounds wonderful. I know I didn't grow up in St. Louis, but I moved here in middle school, I think.
Okay.
And so I love St. Louis.
Okay, and what middle school did you go to? What middle school you go to?
I went to... Oh, my gosh, I'm totally drawing a blank. I think it was Hardin out in St. Charles, though.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it sounds like you have really strong ties to St. Louis. I'm also born and raised from here. I'm from the South County area. And just to add on to that, what type or what areas have you lived in St. Louis?
Well, I was born downtown. I was born in the Mill Creek area. And I lived in the Mill Creek area until they came through and just tore it down. I was there until 1958. Our church was there. Our schools were there. And after I moved in the Mill Creek area, we moved to 610 Walton, which is on the fringe of Central West End. I live like maybe two blocks from Euclid, right there, Delmar, Walton.
Oh,
there's
sure.
A nursery. Bowood Nursery is right in that area now.
Fantastic. I'm very familiar with the area. I live near the Delmar Loop now.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah, and I live in U City now.
Oh, okay. So we're neighbors.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Can you tell me what your childhood was like growing up in Mill Creek Valley?
It was wonderful. I mean, that's all I can say. It was a community where there was a village. Everybody helped raise us. It was a community, African-American, basically. Our churches were there. Our schools were there. Our beauty shops were there. Drug stores were there. I live 3419 Walnut, and that was a couple of blocks from Grand. And Grand, every May, there was a carnival. It's called the Royal American. And every fall, the Veiled Prophet came down our street. And matter of fact, the street that we lived, that I lived on until 68, the Veiled Prophet had a shed where they made all the floats on the corner of our street. And after the parade of the Veiled Prophet was over, the floats were all on our street and a couple of more streets east and west of us. And it was just a wonderful place to live and to grow up. Everything was right there that you needed within the community. The teachers all had high expectations of us, and they looked like us. My parents did not have formal education as far as high school, so they knew nothing as to how to deal with what you took in high school, but we had good counselors that pushed us to be the best that we could be. I went to Bashan High School. Well, I went to Waring as an elementary school. It's torn down. It was within walking distance of our house. And then I went to Bashan High School, which was right down the street from Waring School. Matter of fact, I graduated twice in the same building, because where Harris Stowe Teachers College is now, that was the old Bashan High School, 3026 Laclede. And it was just a wonderful place to live. There was a fire station south of us. And matter of fact, we used to ride down Highway 40 before it became Highway 40 as they built it on our bicycles.
Oh, wow.
So it was wonderful. It was a wonderful place. And I don't know why. I saw some place where they said it was a ghetto and it was rat infested. I don't know anything about that. I don't know if that's what they tried to proclaim. I don't know if some people had rats. We didn't have rats. I don't know. But it was. I just loved it. And every time we have a reunion, everybody says the same thing. And my kids used to listen to the stories that we would tell, and they did not believe it until I made my daughter go to Mill Creek Picnic. And when she went to the Mill Creek Picnic with me, her eyes were just big as dollars, because all of a sudden what I had been saying, she was hearing from other people the same thing. And it was wonderful. That's all I can say. That area growing up, in that area has made me the person I am today because of the people that were there. Matter of fact, I still communicate with a lot of the people who are still living. One of the ladies, I don't know if you saw in the paper a couple of weeks ago, Collier Brothers celebrated 75 years being in business. It was a black-owned, they fixed cars. And they started in the Mill Creek area. She was a block over from us, and we've been friends ever since. She's a nurse. And it was just a wonderful place to go and to live and to make friends. And there we go.
It certainly sounds wonderful.
It was. It really was. It really, really was. And I'm sure if you talk to other people, have you talked to anybody else at Mill Creek?
You are our first interview, so we have not spoken with anyone else yet.
Okay, I'm sure when you talk to others, you'll probably hear the same thing. Yeah.
It's so nice to hear. It's such a good feeling.
You brought up the Mill Creek Valley picnics and old friends, so we were wondering, are you still in contact with anyone from your past, and how does it feel to really reconnect and talk about Mill Creek Valley?
We talk about it when we get together often. Matter of fact, Lois and I, we're buddies for gardening. And we talk about it all the time because she wound up going to Homer Phillips. She wound up being a nurse. And every once in a while, we'll talk about somebody that has come into her life. Matter of fact, up here in U City, he's dead now. When I was going to U City Commons, it's a community center, plus it's a gym right here on Olive Street Road. One of the guys, his name was Al, he worked there. And Al was a couple of years older than me. He had been a lifeguard at the community center. And we talked about living in Mill Creek all the time. My husband was from Dallas, and he had heard the stories. Al lived on Clark, which was south of me. I lived on Walnut, a few blocks from Market. And it was just, every time we talk about it, we talk about what a great place it was to live and how everybody took care of you, the neighbors. I shall never forget, I must have been sixth grade, and I was liking this little boy, and we were walking home from school, and we were walking and talking and walking and talking and walking and talking. And Miss Goodell got off the bus, and she looked at me and said, "Ruth Marie, how you doing?" And I said, "Fine." Well, Miss Goodell went on home, and evidently she told my mother she saw me talking to this boy. And evidently I took too long because my mother was waiting for me, and she knew why I was late getting home from school because Miss Goodell had told her. So, I mean, that's the way it was in the community. It was fun. There was a tavern. The guys used to shoot dice, and I was the oldest of four. And in the summertime, we would sit out, and then my mother would take me around the corner when it got late to get me ice cream. And we would have to pass this tavern, and the men would be playing, shooting dice and whatever else they were doing and talking and lying. But as soon as we showed up, they would shut up and greet us and let us pass through and resume their activities. So it was just like, I mean, that's the way it was. It was great. It was fun. Right now, I don't know. Raising kids now is scary, but we didn't have that kind of fear. We walked every place we went to. I walked from 3400 block of Walnut every 2 weeks to the public library down on 14th Street.
Oh, wow.
And we walked and talked. And there were four or five of us. We would walk every 2 weeks. And in the summertime, there was the Phyllis Wheatley Y. For the ladies, for the girls, the boys went to the YMCA, and we had summer camp, day camp. You played at school all day and went swimming. It was just a great place to be, and nobody bothered.
It sounds wonderful.
It was. It really, really was. We would sit outside, and no matter where we walked in the evening, we had to be home by the time the street lights came on. I don't care where you were.
Fair enough.
And we could walk on the south side, and we would walk on the south side across the Grand Bridge, and they would run us back over north because we were encroaching on the south side territory. And we would get all dressed up every evening in the summertime, iron our little stuff, and decide we were going to go across to see what crossed the Grand Bridge, and there were guys over there, and some of the guys that walked with us, they were trying to find the girls over there, and they would be waiting, and we'd run back home, and then we wound up going to high school with a lot of them, It was just a wonderful place to be. It really, really was.
Well, you've definitely painted a wonderful picture of Mill Creek Valley.
You sound like you've got a lot of really great connections. Have you met Ann Conley, the lady from the Black Wax Museum?
I have not. Have you?
I have not.
Okay, because I was on a works. I was on a panel. She owns, and she was our neighbor. She was my neighbor. Her name is Ann Conley, Lois Conley. And she owns the Wax Museum down on St. Louis Avenue, the Griot Wax Museum. Black Wax Museum.
Yes.
Because she's the one that set this up with me.
Yes, we have. We just know her as Lois. I did not know her first name was Ann.
Yeah, Lois. Well, see, I know her as Ann.
Yeah.
I was raised up with her.
Wow.
Her oldest brother and I were same age, and she is same age as my brother. Her mother and my mother were like best friends. We lived on the same block, and my mother and her mother had children around the same age. But my mother only had five. Ann's mother just kept on having children. And she had about 8 or 9 of them. And my mother and I would laugh about that. But I was on a panel her name is Lois. I was on a panel with her before, and we always talked about how wonderful Mill Creek was. And she could, I'm sure if you talk to her, she would probably tell you the same thing. Our church is still there. It was down there. It was on Laclede. It's now on Euclid and Warwood, Greater Mount Carmel. Started out Reverend Early Nasty. It started out with maybe 20-something members, but it's now on Euclid and Warwick across from Cope Brilliant School. My mother, who is 99, she'll be 100 July 7th. She's still a member there. And
you said your mother will be 100?
And Lois is a member there, too, as well. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely sounds like you've got a lot of people that you're really close to while you were growing up there and that you have remained close with now. Were there any local influences for you growing up in the community?
Other than my school
teachers. Whether it was people or places?
Huh? What did you just say?
Oh, I said whether it was people or places that you visited.
Other than school, there was a theater that we would go to, and on Saturdays they gave away free groceries, and they had chapter plays where it would end on one week, and you'd, in order to find out what happened the next what happened next is to come back the next Saturday. The biggest influence me were my teachers. Huh?
Oh, I just said that's cool. I've never heard of a theater doing that before.
Yeah. And they had a little ticket stub, and they would call out your ticket number, and they would give out little stuff. And that was in our area. The library was very important because, I mean, we would go to the library because it was such a source of knowledge and excitement. And have you been to St. Louis Public Library downtown?
Yes.
Isn't it a beautiful place?
Yeah, it is beautiful.
I mean, it was, and we used to walk there every 2 weeks. And for the summertime, they had a summer reading program. And for every book you read, you got a star next to your name. And they had a big board with your name on it. And you wanted your name to be up there with stars. And at the end of the summer, they gave you a little book bag with a book. And we had, like, Dixie Cup, a cup of ice cream and some cookies. And it was just wonderful. There is, I don't know if you have heard, I can't think of her name right now. She was born and raised, but she left. She wrote for Colored Girls, who I can't think of the, what it's called, that contemplated suicide when the rainbow wasn't enough. Have you heard of that play?
I have not.
Okay. I can't think of her name. She's an award-winning playwright from Broadway, and our Black Rep has done her shows. She in the movie version, Janet Jackson was in it, and some other Black actresses, and there was a lady by the name, and they all had different colors. The lady in red, the lady in blue, the lady in brown was a lady I studied for a course I did, and she fell in love with Toussaint Louverture. She went to the St. Louis Public Library, and she fell in love with Toussaint, and she wrote a book report on Toussaint Louverture, and she was so excited because they gave her a prize, but they took her prize back because she had gotten the book out of the adult reading section and not the children's reading section. And that was such an irony of a story, but it's things like that that when you read about it, you hear about it, it makes you chuckle, because I know about the children's section of St. Louis Public Library, and I was always fascinated when I got old enough to go into the big, you know, where the big books were in the other rooms. It was just wonderful. I just loved the library. And it was beautiful. And see, they remodeled it. It was closed for a while, and then they remodeled it. Yeah.
I love the library, too. And that definitely seems like that may have played an influence in you becoming a school teacher as well.
And plus, I had great school teachers as role models. I had great school teachers, elementary and I went from elementary Warren School all the way to eighth grade. There was no middle school. And then I went to Vashon High School. And at Vashon High School, and I tell anybody, when you go to high school, that's who you learn who you are. You learn socialization, people that you friends with, like-minded people. You join clubs and organizations. You court. I had the locker. 384 was my locker. I courted there, had my little first boyfriend. And that same building wound up in Harris Teachers College. And my locker was still there until they remodeled the building. And I graduated from high school from that same stage. And then I went to Harris Teachers College it was on Enright and Union, and then that's what started out, and then it came back. They remodeled our high school. When they closed it up, when everybody moved out of the area, it became Harris Stowe. And I wound up graduating twice from the same stage, high school and college.
Oh, wow. It's funny how things go.
It was crazy. Yeah.
So speaking of school and all your influences, could you tell us a bit more about your siblings?
My siblings?
Yes.
I'm the oldest of four. Well, there were five. I had a brother who died at 18 months. I have a brother and two sisters. My youngest sister passed December 2017. I have a sister. My brother is 5 years younger than me, and my sister that's living now is 6 years younger than me. They're a year and a half apart. My brother retired from the post office. My sister went to O'Fallon Technical High School, and she worked for insurance companies and different companies in management and so forth. And she retired. We're all retired. My brother went to Sumner High School, which is a historical Black high school. And it was the first Black high school, but Sean was the second one. And my sister, my youngest sister and my brother went to Sumner. My sister that's still living, she went to O'Fallon Tech. It's over on Grand and McRae. not Grand, Kings Highway in McRae. It's a technical high school.
Oh, right. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's where she graduated from. And my brother and younger sister went to Sumner High School. And they're talking about now closing Sumner because the enrollment is so low. But it's a historical black high school, so I think they're going to keep it open. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Well, hopefully they do. You've definitely mentioned your love for growing up in Mill Creek Valley. Have you spent much time in other areas in St. Louis in your childhood?
No, I was raised there. I left there, and I was born in 1943. I left there in 58. That's when everything, they started moving down, moving us out, and they tore the houses down. And Ann or Lois, her family was one of the last families to be down in that area. We left in 58. I graduated from high school in 60. So I had to commute back to the high school. The last class to graduate from Vashon in that area, in the Mill Creek area, was like 62, 63. Everybody else had just basically moved out, and you just came back, you know, caught the bus or the streetcar in order to go back. But that's where I was born and raised until 58. And then we moved to 610 Walton. And from there, we moved to 4825 Fountain, and I went from that home to being married. We went to Fountain in 63, and I got married in 65. So I basically stayed all my life until 58 in the Mill Creek area. Yep.
Wow, so it sounds like you have
you
some
move,
really... Oh, sorry, Tori, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just interested more about the neighborhood, and since you seem like, correct me if I'm wrong, you were there for about 15, 16 years in Mill Creek Valley.
Right.
So do you notice, or when did you notice the neighborhood starting to change, or if people were moving out?
All of a sudden, people were moving out, and we couldn't figure out why. Well, you know what? I think what it was, a lot of the people that lived in that area were not homeowners. We rented. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you rent, I don't think, you know, when you look back, I remember we used to live at 3417 next door, upstairs, and the lady and her husband, my mother had four kids at that time, and her name was Miss Lillian Moore. They moved out, and she told, and I remember it, and she told my mother that she was going to talk to whoever had the house she was living in, that they would be good tenants. And sure enough, we moved next door, and we had upstairs, downstairs. We had a living room, dining room. We had our bedrooms were upstairs. And my mother used to... clean houses for our Caucasian white people, and she brought me some tap shoes, and I would tap up the steps, and I would tap down the steps. I would just tap, 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 and my daddy worked at night, and I'll never forget. He got up, and he snatched my taps, my shoes. He told me, give me these shoes, and he took them, and for a long time, I could not find them, and when I did find them, he had taken the taps off. I found my taps in my daddy's toolbox many, 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 many years later. I have two of the taps here at my house now, and I have told them through the years I probably could have been a tap dancer if you had not stopped me from tapping. But I think because nobody owned any houses, whoever owned them, they just made a deal with whoever wanted to come through to tear everything down. They just did. We had no recourse. You understand what I'm saying? When you
yeah.
own homes, you can stand your ground or do this, or you could go and fight and vote and do this. But most of us, most of my parents was, at that time were not homeowners. When you stop and think about it, as a kid, you don't think about who owns a home. It's just your house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And everything we had, we needed, was right there in the neighborhood. We could walk here up on the corner. They had little confectionaries. We used to go up around the corner and play the pinball machines. There was a Jackson confectionery on our way to church on Sundays. Sometimes we would come out of Sunday school and be late going back, because we would run up there and buy stuff and come back to church. And the lady that did my hair, my beautician, was right there on that same block, and a drugstore. There was cleaners and everything that was needed in our area to survive was there. When I got a certain age, my mother would take me downtown on the bus with her, and we would go to La Clee Gas, and I would watch her pay the gas bill. And then a lot of times, as I got older, she would let me go down by myself downtown. And at downtown, was segregated. We could not eat downtown. We could eat at a certain, I don't know if you heard about that, blacks, we couldn't send out and eat at Woolworths or Kresge's. We had to stand on a certain side of the store to stand in order to eat. That was downtown St. Louis. But it was the reality of life. We think about it now, it was not the right thing, but it was segregated. We went down there. We knew where we could stand and eat. We stood and ate and came on back. But everything that we had and needed was right there. It was a service station, not a service station, fire station, a couple of blocks from us, cab stands, because people rode cabs at that time. If you didn't have a car, they had called service cabs. They were like Ubers. They're rid in the neighborhood. You go and stood on the corner, and if you needed a ride, it was cheaper than a cab. It that's the way it was. It was fun.
It sounds like from what you're describing, you didn't, like, when you noticed people moving out, you were really surprised. Was that the same for your parents and your other adult neighbors at the time? Did they seem surprised, or did they seem more like
they figured
it was happening?
I don't know. I never talked to them. I don't know what, all I know is we would look up and this family was leaving. I don't remember having the conversation with my parents or anything as to why they were leaving. All of a sudden, you look up, this person was gone, or this person was gone. And the block started changing, but nobody was moving and taking that space. You know what I'm saying? It was not like this house was vacant and somebody was going to come back in. Another person was coming in that they vacated. It just was vacant. And then after a while, we even moved. And when Lawrence and I and Ann and I and another girl, her name is Faye Ann, we named all of the families that lived on our block, on each side of the block, this past, when all this pandemic was going on. You kind of keep in touch with people, to touch bases with them. And we started on the corner where Faye Ann lived, on the very corner, and came all the way up on my side of the street as far as we could go. And then we did it across the street from us all the way up. And there was an estranged woman. She was eccentric. She wore a white handkerchief tied around her head. Everybody was afraid of her. And she wore an apron. And people used to say that the mailman disappeared when he came to deliver her mail. And everybody was scared of her. And she was the most eccentric person on the block. And I'll never forget one Halloween, we were going to go over there, a whole bunch of us, but we were going to go around through the alley to get to the back of her yard to see if we could find anybody that was buried, or we could see anything. And you know, in October, the time changes, and it was dark, and everybody was waiting for it. But I got scared. I didn't go. The other kids went, and I could hear them screaming, and I hated that I didn't go with them. And they were running, and they came back around. They didn't see anything. They admitted they didn't see anything. They were more scared than anything. Her name, and that was my mate name, her name was Miss Johnson. And they used to call her Old Lady Crazy. No, Old Crazy Lady, Crazy Old Crazy Lady Johnson. That's what they called her. Yeah. Yeah. It was wonderful. It was a fun place to live.
These are such fantastic memories. For someone who's not too familiar with Mill Creek Valley, what's something you wish more people knew about the neighborhood?
I wish they knew what a sense of community the neighborhood had. You know, when you read about, you don't read about the intricacies of what makes a real neighborhood. It was a community effort where everybody was in charge of everybody else. I could go next door. I don't think we kept our houses locked up. We would sit out and talk in the spring and the summertime and the wintertime, snowball fights. School was always, they never closed schools. We walked to school. We had galoshes on. It was just and nobody talks about community the way they talked about it, the way it was. It was really a great place to live. Even the people that lived east of us, and I did not know too many of them that lived east of me past a certain street, because there was Jefferson coming west. I couldn't go that far down, but there were people who traveled that far to go back and forth. My grandmother lived South Ewing, and I used to walk to her house, go cross Market Street and go down, and her house was South Ewing, 427 South Ewing. I didn't go too far past that, but there was no fear going there because nobody bothered you. And I just wish everybody knew what a sense of community that was in Mill Creek Valley. It was a nice place to live. And you hear horror stories. I've seen pictures, where it just looked like it was just, it didn't relate to me, not to where I lived and what we did. I don't know if there was other people living like that. If they did, I didn't know. Because Ann and I talked about it all the time. When this lady said, somebody wrote a book and rats, I didn't know anything about that. I really didn't.
Yeah, it sounds like for the most part your experience was really, really good. Is there a specific experience or memory that kind of resonates with you the most in terms of growing up in Mill Creek Valley?
Yes, and it's personal and it's funny. There was a family that lived three houses from us. They were called the Tatums. Their name were the Tatums. And Mr. Tatum drank liquor, and so did my daddy drink liquor. And we were all sitting out during the summertime, all outside on the porch, in the yard, up and down the street, and a cab came. It was a red and white Marcella cab came, and Mr. Tatum wore dress suits every day. Every day Mr. Tatum had on a suit, shirt, and tie, hat, dress, church shoes. Well, Mr. Tatum kind of crawled, fell out the cab, and everybody was laughing, and his son came and helped him, escorted him, and he kind of stumbled, and everybody was laughing and giggling. and oohing and awing Mr. Tatum, and he was trying to put his hat on his head. And then I saw these long legs, and I recognized my daddy's pants, and my daddy crawled out after him. And all the ladies on the block, everybody was laughing by this time, and my mother, and by this time I was mortified. And I, by me being the oldest, my mother said, "Ruth Marie, go and help your daddy." She said, "Stop laughing," and I'll never forget it. She said, "That's your daddy. His blood is running through your veins. He's just somebody I met." And I think about that all the time. And Conway had a brother, Charles. He came and helped me bring my daddy up to where we live. And it was only a couple of houses. And my mother, her jaws were tight, and she was looking out to the east, and she was mad. And everybody was laughing. I had stopped laughing at that time because my daddy was just as drunk as Mr. Tatum. But when she said, "He's no kin to me. He's just somebody I met," and I thought that was, and I think about it, and I tell my kids that all the time, and they know the story. But that was hilarious. But it wasn't hilarious when it was going on. But it was funny. Mm-hmm. It was funny.
It's definitely a good story.
It was funny.
Yeah. What parts of the Mill Creek Valley do you feel have remained historically relevant, especially with our current society?
Okay, you know, in that area, the school Harris is still down in that area. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That area is still there, and there's a service station that was there on Cardinal and Olive. It's been there for years and years and years. The community has changed, but certain buildings and stuff are still there. St. Louis U is basically still there. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, Highway 40 came through and just decimated a lot of that area. And I think they had a plan. Evidently, they had a plan that we didn't know anything about. It's just gone. It's just gone. Other than, I can't think of anything else that's down there that would have an impact now. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, things that you knew that were there, that were so important, somebody's just made it disappear. And it's like, it's not there, and you have no way of proving that went on. You know what I'm saying? You can't put your hands on it because they right. tore everything down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's nothing there, nothing physical.
Okay, no. I didn't understand you.
I think I totally understand because there's nothing physical to really.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, there's nothing physical. The library is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Harris Teachers College is still there. The streets are all where you can't go through. Laclede is cut off. There used to be apartments called Laclede Town, and I don't know if you heard about that, but they're all torn down because I think St. Louis U has a parking lot and stuff there. It's just all gone. It's just gone.
It's such a shame. And
it is. And my daughter always wonders, how do I know the city? Well, how do you know to get through? I say, I walk these streets. I know these streets. Because, see, she was born and raised in U City. And so she knows U City, the loop and all this area. But and my mother lives still in the city, 4825 Fountain. But I know that area, like the back of my hand. Yep.
Sure, the buildings are gone, but it sounds like the memories and
the
relationships
memories,
you have with people are still there.
Yeah, the memories.
The community, and
You've talked about community a lot, so could you tell us what community really means to you?
Community is, to me, is a sense of comfort where you can reach out. Everything that you need is within, just right there. You don't have to go far to get it. For whatever the reason, everything you may need can be within walking distance, calling, because a lot of times we did not have a lot of cars in our area. A lot of people did not drive. A lot of people caught mass transit, the bus, and so forth. Everything that you needed in order to survive was within reach in the area that you lived in. And to me, that was community. Your spiritual base, the religious base, your physical well-being. They had a hospital that were that was near there. To buy groceries, all of that was there. The schools were there. That was our community. And plus, the people who lived there, they were all like-minded. I'm not saying everybody. There were good, bad people. You know, there's bad people everywhere.
Sure.
But basically, the community that I was raised in was a sense of comfort for us. Comfort and well-being. We could sit out in the summertime, in the springtime. We played ball up and down the streets and skate. And I'll never shall forget my brother, his first bicycle. Over on the Grand Bridge, somebody he didn't even know was supposed to be going over there, asked him to ride. Could he have a ride on his bike? My brother told him, yeah, being nice, because that's the way we were. He took my brother's bike and rode off on it, you know. And he came back, and he told me, but he was scared to tell my daddy. And eventually he told my daddy, but by that time, and my daddy got in his car, put him in the car, and I guess he was going to rat around and see if they found it. And he came back. My brother, his head was all down. My daddy was cussing and carrying on. But that was a lesson well learned, you know. And as I said, everything wasn't hunky-dory, but that was the community. And that was somebody that was from the South side. It was not from our side. That boy, that stuff. That's why we were so fascinated by the South Side. And he shouldn't have been up there because my mother told him, don't go any further. But he went further than that. He went all past the, to Teresa, to the street, with Grand. So that's what happens when you don't obey. And that was the lesson my mother told him. You didn't obey, so that's what happened.
Yeah, so, it sounded like you learned the hard way.
Yeah, he did. But that was the community. The community is just wonderful. I mean, that's what community was for me. A sense of comfort, commonality. Everybody's not on the same accord, but everybody wanted the same thing for everybody in the community. And then you could go to the different resources in the community if you needed something. If you needed your hair done. If you needed to go to the barbershop, if you needed to shoe shine, if you needed to buy groceries, if you needed drugstore, prescription field, the schools, high school and an elementary school, just everything was just right there within blocks, 7-8 blocks going either way, north, south, east, or west. Catholic schools, there were Catholic schools going in that area. There were some kids that went to Catholic schools. They didn't go to public schools. Catholic churches. I was Baptist. That was St. Malachi. St. Malachi was a Catholic church over there on Market. So, I mean, that was the community.
I love your response and how you say community is something that makes you feel comfortable and that you have things in common with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned earlier that growing up in Mill Creek Valley kind of shaped you into the person you are today. Can you touch on that a little bit more?
Yeah, okay. I was raised around people who always encouraged us to be the best that we could be. And Ruth Marie, I know you can do better than that. Ruth Marie, I expect for you to do blah, 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 blah. And when people have high expectations of you, you always strive to live up to those expectations. Going into high school, I should never forget my freshman, and she became my homeroom teacher the whole 4 years I was there. Her name was Grace Wilson. And she was the one that helped set your curriculum up. You didn't have to decide what you were going to take. These teachers knew what we were capable of doing, and they encouraged us to take the higher level classes, foreign languages. You know, you take geometry 1 and 2, you take physics, you take chemistry. You take all this literature. You've had a comprehensive education to prepare you. It was no doubt we were going to go to college. The other folks who wanted to go into military, they prepared them to do. You're going to have to be disciplined. We just knew what to do, how to do it, and why to do it. And the ones that went along with the whole program, they became successful. Like Lois wound up going to Homer Phillips, being a nurse. A lot of the guys went into military. A lot of the guys got jobs as bus drivers and working at the post office, making money, wages, you know, earning a living. And people expected that of us. So that's what we did. A couple of people got, as I left out of there and found out, a lot of them left after we left Mill Creek. They went to different neighborhoods, and then they got caught up in bad stuff, the drugs and the drinking and the fighting and this, that, and the other. I never saw any of that when I was down there, but after I left out 15, 16, 17, 18, going out, because that's when everything started falling apart and people had to move. And then all of a sudden you were in a new neighborhood. You did not have the support that you had in the new neighborhood, because, like, you were the new kid on the block. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it just became an issue, and everybody couldn't adjust. And when I left Mill Creek, I commuted back to the high school. I left in 58. I graduated from high school in 60. So for 2 years, I went back to Vashon to keep the continuation of my education. I didn't transfer out to another school. Some people transferred out to other schools that were nearer to them for where they moved to, and they did not do well because they were having to prove themselves. They weren't comfortable because they were in a whole new environment. And those times in your life as a kid or as a young person, as a teenager, it's hard enough to be a teenager, let alone hard enough to be a teenager in a new environment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Adolescence is really hard.
Yeah, so that's what helped shape me, yeah. They had high expectations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
High expectations sounds like it was a great support system that held you accountable, though, and expected a lot from you.
They did, yeah.
And yeah. Everyone needs that type of role model in their life.
Huh?
Everyone needs that type of role model in their life.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. People just need influences like that in their life, especially growing up.
You do. You really do. And as an educator, it was so important for me to try to instill that sense of togetherness and family in my classroom. And I would tell my kids, and I could always tell if somebody had a bad morning, because you would get off the bus and you would see them in the breakfast program, they're all angry and mad, and I would always tell them, I would always speak to my kids before they came into the room, because you had to meet them in the yard, and I would go down my line and I would speak to them, good morning, are we ready to rock and roll, are we ready to work? And that was my way of trying to reach out to them, and they would say, Miss Emma, I need to talk to you. And I would say, okay, meet me. And see, there was a fish tank outside my room, and I would say, well, meet me at the fish tank. And there was always chairs out there. And that was where somebody had an issue before the day started. They would stand out there, and we would talk before that, because I didn't want them to bring that mess into the room, because it was a sense of community. We don't want nobody coming in messing up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I tried to bring that into my classroom every time. And I only worked in two different schools in my whole 40-year career. I was only in two different schools, so it was a sense of community. I was teaching second-generation children. I had taught their parents, and then their parents got grown and married, and they would give their parents' address for their kids to come back to our school. So I had a wonderful career as an educator. And some of these kids right now, I'm still friends with. They call me. They tell me I need to be on Facebook. I can't deal with that. But they call. We communicate. We have met each other at the casinos. They've had lounge parties, bowling parties. And everybody tells the stories of what happened the year or the 2 years. One group of people, kids, I had for three straight years. I had them for sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. And when they graduated from the eighth grade, I completely had a meltdown. They were like my own children. I could not even call their name. I could not call their names for graduation. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I had a Gwenda Allen. That was the first name I called, alphabetical order, receiving the eighth grade graduation certificates. Principal was there. We had a guest speaker. All the ancillary people were there. We had the great big ceremony out at the Heritage House. It is now Cracker Barrel, but at that time, Heritage House was a buffet where they had a room that you could rent out. We went out there. These kids were like they were my babies. I got to Gwenda Allen. The next girl's name was Wendy Brown, and I fell apart. And a parent. Teachers were crying. The principal was crying. The kids, the boys were mad because they were crying. Boys don't like to cry in the eighth grade. A parent had to come up and call my kids' names.
That's so sweet.
And they marked me. It takes some of the kids, and they grown now. And they say I was crying the ugly cry. But it was a sense of community. I had taken these kids out of town to, you know, you have eighth grade trips. We had gone to Washington, D.C. Our first trip was Chicago. Short trip, Chicago. We got real bad. The next trip, we went to Florida, and our last trip, I took them to New York, to the Big Apple. Yep. It was wonderful. And it was like a sense of community. And I got that background because of Mill Creek. You want everybody to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's where we are.
That's so fantastic, and I'm sure your students will remember you forever.
You know what? I tell anybody, when you sow seeds, you don't know where they're going to germinate. You really don't. You don't know which one's going to catch hold. So you scatter them out there, and you water them, and you hope the sun to cause them to grow. And I can honestly say I did really good because that's what I always wanted to do. And as I said, I tried to have a sense of community in my classroom. And they knew if you came to me and you were honest with me, just like my dad had told us, don't lie to us. If you kill somebody, you tell us the truth. We can't help you if you lie. And I would always tell my kids, you know, I'm here to fight for you, but don't lie to me. Now, don't have Miss Edmund out here looking stupid, and they got you on camera doing this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. So they all knew, I always had their backs, but they had to make sure they were being honest. You know what I'm saying? Kids are going to be kids. And that's the way it was growing up in Mill Creek. It was fun. And as I said, everything was not hunky-dory, but it was a sense of community. Yeah. I don't know if this has helped you all or not, but it is what it is.
Oh, my gosh. I think this has helped so much. We actually just had one more question, really,
okay.
Which was, is there anything you feel that we really haven't discussed that you want to talk about?
No, I just wish that someone could gather and have, Anne did it at her place at the Wax Museum. And at that time, people didn't have cameras and phones and to take pictures, you know what I'm saying? I wish now that when you stop and think about it, my parents didn't have cameras to take pictures. Everything I remember is in my head because I lived it. But to have a pictorial, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just wish, because saying what I'm saying and having these other people say what they have to say, and I'm sure if you talk to somebody that lived 3,500 block of Lawton, 3,500 block or whatever, the Clark they lived in. I was 3419. And all these people, we would all basically say the same thing. With the nuances would be a little different, but the basic tenet would be the sense of community and everybody helping each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just wish that we had a positive pictorial of what went on during that period of time, but we don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's a shame, but
it is. It really is. And I said, and the only thing that, because I know my daughter got sick of, because the Mill Creek picnic's on, blah 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 blah. And she said, I'm so sick. I said, okay. I said, I'm gonna take you. She didn't believe it. And when I took her, first of all, there was a big sign. The music was booming. It was right here at Heeman Park. And people were playing cards, sitting around talking. And as she sat there and listened, I could see her face. And her eyes were darted at me, and I nodded my head like, mm-hmm. You hear the same story. See, that's mm-hmm. She's heard this before. And my nickname was Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth, remember so-and-so? And she and I just nodded her, and when she got back in the car, I said, "And what did you think?" She didn't say anything for a long time. I guess she just didn't. She was just overwhelmed. And eventually, we talked about it. I said, "Now you see." She said, "I didn't believe it." I said, "Mm-hmm." Yep. And I regret that we don't have what do you call it when you have evidence, you know, concrete evidence, you know what I'm saying, positive, like
yeah.
Pictures, historical conversations on tape, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's one of the, yeah. I wish somebody could pull something together like that.
I mean, your memories are going to be preserved now because you have shared such great memories and insights into Mill Creek Valley.
Okay.
I think you've really shown the sense of community and all these
positive
memories.
Have you talked to anybody else?
We haven't, but I think a few other people have interviewed some folks who grew up in Mill Creek Valley.
Okay, can you keep me posted when you pull all this together? Can you keep me posted what the other people said and how they felt about it? I would like to know that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can contact the other groups who are interviewing folks, and
okay.
maybe we can get it all together and share it with you.
Okay, I would love that. I would
Absolutely.
Love that. I really would.
Right now.
I really would love that. Yeah. I really would love that.
And I think Lois should end up having all of this as well, and Shu should have their finalized products too.
Okay. Okay.
But we will keep in contact, and then I'll let you know once everything's finished.
Okay, thank you. So is it Katie?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Do you have anything else to add?
No.
No, I appreciate you taking the time.
It's past my bedtime. I've been up since 5. I'm an early riser.
Oh, no.
And no, I'm fine. I cut grass and edged and killed weeds and clean my art room and organize, and I think I asked, could I put, this, I am a lady of a particular age. I just bought a new car into technology. Not only did I buy the new car that has the blind spot mirrors and it has the backup stuff, and it was a mess. Old people need technology. They need something to help protect us to keep us safe. But also, I collect owls, and I told my daughter, I said, for years and years and years and years, I wanted to get a tattoo of a little owl on my inside wrist, on my right arm, my right wrist. And she didn't believe me. And this was maybe 20, 25, 30 years ago, maybe 25 years when she got her first tattoo. I said, you know what, John, I think I'm going to get one. Right now I'm not ready for it. So I bought this car. I got my car note all on. I had to go online. I had to go into the 21st century and do all this mess online. My daughter-in-law told me I was clicking too much. I was screaming at the computer because it was freezing up, and I'm crying and calling the 1-800 number and yelling at these people. And the lady was so calm, and she kept saying, Mrs. Edmund. And I'm going, what? And she said, go into a different browser. What do you mean, browser? And I'm just, and she said, okay, go into Google and then do Google and then do chase.com. And I said, okay, and I should have kept on the line, but I didn't. I hung up and I did all of that. And I put my new username and I did my password and all my stuff showed up on the screen. And my daughter-in-law said, you're a clicker. You click too much. I didn't know that. But I said to myself, I told my girlfriend, I said, girl, wait a minute. We need to get into the 21st century. This stuff is here for real, and I want to be a part of it. Even though it's the pandemic, I have taught myself to knit this year. I'm knitting dish rags all over the place. I told my daughter, and I was supposed to get a tattoo. That's why I had asked you, could I get it, have the time change? I didn't know people made appointments for tattoos. Evidently, it's a big thing. And we're going here on
yes,
the loop. You know about the tattoo place in the loop?
Did you go to Iron Age today?
Are you talking about
that's
Iron
it,
Age?
That's it. That's it.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I have an appointment. That's why I had to postpone it. I didn't go today because of this appointment, because of this telephone thing. I am going, and this is my birthday present. My birthday is the 19th of this month. I am going on April the 30th. I have a 7 o'clock appointment to do I found my owl. I did not realize, my daughter said, Mother, go online and find small owls. Mistake. It was horrible. People got owls all on their backs, on their legs, on their chest. I said, oh, I can't do this. So I went to my curio cabinet, and I found the perfect plexiglass cube that has this little cute owl sitting on a branch. I got it there already. She brought me. I was supposed to have it today. She brought me antiseptic soap, and I have Neosporin. Is that what you're supposed to have on it?
Yes.
And I am ready. Okay, I was supposed to get it today, but that's okay. I'm getting it on April the 30th. So I said all of that to say, when you get a certain age, things just make you happy. And right now, I'm taking off. Hey, I bought the car. I'm getting a tattoo. I'm ready for the world. I'm ready for my new phase. And I hope this new phase, something real good will come out of this Mill Creek experiment or whatever it is. Because it was a wonderful place to be raised up. It really was. And I'm sure when you get together with the other groups, I'm sure they're going to tell you similar stories. Yeah.
I hope so. It seems like you seem like a wonderful person, and that must have happened just because of your upbringing and everyone you grew up with.
Yeah. And that's why they helped me make who I am today. I always give credit to that. I am who I am today because of the love that was given to me in growing up from the community. And that's the way it was. That's the way it was. So on that note, ladies.
Well, thank you so much, Ruth. Good luck with the tattoo.
I'm excited. I am.
You should be.
I'm excited. And my girlfriend said, "Why'd you wait all this dirt?" I said, "That's all right. That's all right. I'm happy. All this dirt.
Good.
That's okay. You take care, ladies."
You do as well.
You too. Thank you.
And you all stay safe now, because you know this stuff is still out here. Stay safe.
You do too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a good night. Bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.